in any way to prevent any little difficulties and disturbances, especially those of an occult nature, in the trying days to come. Please? There are enough stories already going about." Tiffany was still blushing after her outburst. She nodded and managed to say, "Look, about what I said just back then, I didn't..." She stopped because Roland had raised a hand. "This is a bewildering time for all of us. There's a reason for all the superstitions. The time around weddings and funerals is fraught with stress for all concerned, except in the case of the funeral, for the chief, as it were, player," he said. "Let us just be calm and careful. I'm very pleased that Letitia likes you. I don't think she has many friends. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have more arrangements to supervise." Tiffany's own voice still bounced around in her head as she walked out of the room. Why had she said that about marrying? She'd always thought it was going to be true. Well, when she was a bit younger, she had thought it was going to be true, but all that was past, wasn't it? Yes, it was. And to come out of it with something as wet and stupid as that was so embarrassing. And where was she going now? Well, there were plenty of things to do, there always were. There was no end to the wanting. She was halfway across the hall when one of the maids approached her nervously and told her that Miss Letitia wanted to see her in her room. The girl was sitting on her bed twisting a handkerchief, a clean one, Tiffany was pleased to see, and looking worried, which was to say more worried than her usual expression, which was that of a hamster that had had its treadmill stopped. "So kind of you to come, Tiffany. Could I have a private word?" Tiffany looked around. There was no one else there. "Privately," said Letitia, and gave the handkerchief another twist. Hasn't got many friends of her own age, Tiffany thought. I bet she wasn't allowed to play with village children. Doesn't get out that much. Getting married in a couple of days, oh dear. It wasn't a very difficult conclusion to reach. A tortoise with a bad leg could have jumped to it. And then there was Roland, kidnapped by the Queen of the Elves, held in her nasty country for ages without growing older, bullied by his aunts, worried sick about his elderly father, finds it necessary to act as if he is 20 years older than he really is. Oh dear. "How can I help you?" she said brightly. Letitia cleared her throat. "After the wedding, we will have a honeymoon," she said, her face shading to a delicate pink. "What exactly is supposed to happen?" The last few words were mumbled quickly, Tiffany noticed. "Do you have any aunts?" she asked. Aunts were generally good at this sort of thing. Letitia shook her head. "Have you tried talking about it with your mother?" Tiffany tried, and Letitia turned on her a face that was as red as a boiled lobster. "Would you talk about this sort of thing with my mother?" "I can see the problem. Well, broadly speaking, and I don't speak exactly as an expert here, but she was, if not through actual personal practice. A witch couldn't help being some kind of expert as to the ways people came and entered the world. By the time she was 12, the older witches had trusted her to go out to a birth by herself. Besides, she had helped lambs to be born, even when she was quite small. It came naturally, as Nanny Ogg said, although not as naturally as you might think. She remembered Mr. and Mrs. Hamper, quite a decent couple who had 3 children in a row before they worked out what was causing it. Ever since then, she had tried to have a chat with the village girls of a certain age, just to be on the safe side. Letitia listened like someone who was going to make notes afterwards and possibly get tested on Friday. She didn't ask any questions until about halfway through when she said, "Are you sure?" "Yes, I'm pretty certain," said Tiffany. "Well, it sounds reasonably straightforward. Of course, I suppose boys know all about this sort of thing. Why are you laughing?" "It's a matter of opinion," said Tiffany. "Oh, now I see you. I see you, you filth, you plague, you noxious abomination." Tiffany looked at Letitia's mirror, which was big and had around it lots of fat golden cherubs who were clearly catching their death of cold. There was Letitia's reflection, and there was, faint but visible, the eyeless face of the cunning man. The outlines of the cunning man began to thicken. Tiffany knew that nothing in her face had changed. She knew it. "I won't answer him," she thought. "I had almost forgotten all about him. Don't answer. Don't let him get a hold on you." She managed to smile while Letitia hauled out from cases and chests what she called her trousseau, which, in Tiffany's opinion, contained the world's entire supply of frilliness. She tried to focus on it, to let frilliness fill her mind and somehow chase away the words that came pouring from him. The ones she understood were bad enough, the ones that she didn't were worse. Despite everything, the creaking, choking voice got through again. "You think you have been lucky, witch. You hope you'll be lucky again. You need to sleep. I never sleep. You have to be lucky time after time. I have to be lucky just once. Just once and you will burn. That last word was soft, almost gentle after the creaking, coughing, scraping words that came before. It sounded worse. You know, said Letitia, looking thoughtfully at a garment that Tiffany knew she could never afford, while I am truly looking forward to being the mistress of this castle, I must say that the drainage system here smells dreadful. In fact, it smells like it has never been cleaned since the world began. Honestly, I could believe that prehistoric monsters have done their business in it. So she can smell him, Tiffany thought. She is a witch. A witch who needs training, because without it she's going to be a menace to everybody, not least herself. Letitia was still prattling on. There was no other word for it. Tiffany, still trying to defeat the voice of the cunning man by sheer will, had said aloud, Why?
Oh, because I think the bows look a lot more fetching than buttons, said Letitia,
who was holding up a nightdress of considerable splendour, another reminder to Tiffany that witches never really had any money.
You burned before, and so did I, croaked the voice in her head. But this time you will not take me. I will take you and your confederacy of evil.
Tiffany thought she could actually see the exclamation marks. They shouted for him even when he spoke softly. They jumped and slashed at his words. She could see his contorted face and the little flecks of foam that accompanied the finger-waving and shouting. Gobs of liquid madness flying through the air behind the mirror. How lucky for Letitia that she couldn't hear him yet. But her mind was currently full of frills, bells, rice, and the prospect of being at the centre of a wedding. Not even the cunning man could burn his way through that. She managed to say, It's not going to work for you. And part of her kept repeating inside her head, No eyes, no eyes at all, two tunnels in his head.
Yes, I think you're right. Possibly the mauve one will look better, said Letitia, although I have always been told that Odenil is really my colour. By the way, could I make things up to you in some way by having you as my chief bridesmaid? Of course, I've already got a load of tiny distant cousins who I understand have been wearing their bridesmaids' dresses for the past 2 weeks.
Tiffany was still staring at nothing, or rather at two holes into nothing. At the moment, they were the most important things in her mind, and they were quite bad enough without adding tiny little cousins into the mixture. I don't think that witches are bridesmaid material, thank you, all the same, she said.
Bridesmaids? A wedding?
Tiffany's heart sank further. There was no help for it. She ran out of the room before the creature could learn anything more. How did it search? What was it looking for? Had they just given it a clue? She fled down to the dungeon, which was right now a place of refuge. There was the book that Letitia had given to her. She opened it and began to read. She had learned to read fast up in the mountains, when the only books you could get were from the travelling library, and if you were late returning them, they charged you an extra penny, an appreciable amount when your standard unit of currency is an old boot. The book told stories of windows, not ordinary windows, although some might be, and behind them, things, monsters sometimes, a painting, a page in a book, even a puddle in the right place could be a window. She remembered once more the nasty goblin and the old book of fairy tales. Sometimes it was laughing, and at other times it was grinning. She had always been sure about that. It wasn't a big change, but it was still a change. And you always wondered, what was it like that last time? Did I remember it wrong? The book rustled under Tiffany's hands like a hungry squirrel waking up in a hollow tree full of nuts. The author was a wizard, and a long-winded one at that, but the book was fascinating even so. There had been people who walked into a picture, and people who had walked out of one. Windows were a way of getting from one world into another, and anything could be a window, and anything could be a world. She had heard that the sign of a good painting was that the eyes followed you around the room, but according to the book, it was quite likely that they might follow you home and upstairs to bed as well, an idea that she would rather not think about right now. Being a wizard, the author had tried to explain it all with graphs and charts, none of which helped in any way. The cunning man had run towards her inside a book, and she had slammed it shut before he got out. She had seen his fingers just as the press had spun down. But he couldn't have been squashed inside the book, she thought, because he wasn't really in the book at all, except in some magical way, and he's been finding me in other ways too. How? Right now, those tiresome days of seeing to broken legs, bad stomachs and ingrown toenails suddenly seemed quite attractive. She'd always told people that that was what witchcraft was all about, and that was true, right up until the time something horrible could jump out of nowhere. That was when a poultice just wouldn't do the trick. A piece of straw floated down and landed on the book. "It's safe for you to come out," said Tiffany. "You are here, aren't you?" and right by her ear, a voice said, "Oh, aye, that we